In Divrei Yamin Beis, Parak Dalid, Pasuk Aleph, it says, "Ve'yasmiz be'ach nechoshes esrim amarko." We're still in Shlomo Melech building the Beis Hamikdash, doing all the different things he needs to do. He made a mizbeach of nechoshes, 20 amas long, esrim amar rachbo, 20 amas wide. That's amos komalso, and it was 10 amos tall, so 20 by 20 by 10. That's a large thing altogether. If 20 amas is basically, let's say, it's a foot and a half, that's 30 feet by 30 feet. And about, how long is that? 15 feet high. That's a large mizbeach, right? That's the mizbeach that he made right over there. And then that's the copper mizbeach itself. He has to say yam mutzak. And then he made a sea. This sea was made of cast metal that he put together. Esther bo'amah misfaso al-sfaso. It was 10 amas in diameter. And we all know what that means, right? Radius versus diameter. So in diameter, it was 10 amas altogether. Misfaso al-sfaso, from one edge to the other. Ugol saviv, circular all the way around. The chamesh ba'amah komaso, 5 amas tall. The kav shloshim ba'amah yosef aso saviv. A 30-cubit line would go all the way around it. If you went all the way around, there would be 30 amos going all the way around the top, going all the way around there. Udmus bekarim takasol saviv. There was cattle underneath it, saviv saviv, around. So in other words, this yam was this big, big metal tube. Again, 10 amas tall, 30 amas, you know, whatever, and 10 amas diameter altogether, right? And on this, there were three cows underneath, like holding it up in one way. Three cows, three cows, three cows, all the way around it. Makivas yam saviv, shnayim turim habakor yitzugim v'mutzaktoi. Right? They were all, I think you'd say, right, they're haunted. Everything was toward, I guess, the cast with the casting of the sea itself. Like they're cast of the same metal that the sea was made of. These animals were made of as well. Omid al shneimasar bakar. It stood on 12 cattle altogether. Shlosh aponim tzafona, shlosh aponim yama. Three turned to the north, three turned to the west. Shlosh aponim negba, three to the south. Shlosh aponim mizracha, three to the east. Vayama leim omala. And the yam was on top of them. V'cholachoreim besa. And all of their backs were toward the, you know, whatever, toward the inside of the thing. V'avyo tepach, the thickness was a tepach of the cast metal. That's this thick. So the metal was just that thick. And the, I guess you could say, the thickness altogether was the amount, the edge of the cup, Parach Shoshana, with a rose blossom design all around. It was able to hold 3,000 bath. A bath altogether, if I remember correctly, it is. Where's the idea behind it? Where's a bath? Here we go. A bath is three suz. So 2,000 bath is the amount of 6,000 suz. That's the amount of 150 mikvos. 150 mikvos. That's how much it was altogether. There's no other way to really describe it. A suz is 144 eggs. So you want to multiply 6,000 times 144 eggs. That's already 144,000 times 6. So if you want to do a quick mathematical equation, it'll probably end up being about 9,000. 9,000 eggs worth, but it's not like the size of an egg. It's the water displacement of an egg, the size of the egg on the outside. So either way, regardless, that's how much this huge yam was able to make. Now, normally, guys, such a thing is not considered a valid mikvah. Why is it not a valid mikvah? Well, it's technically not from the ground, and it's sitting out the whole time. So if you have that water sitting out, that's usually, you know, especially if it's inside a kli, even though it's a massive kli, usually that's called mayim gluyim. You can't have water sitting overnight. If you have water, a water bottle or Coke or whatever it is that sits overnight because of the snakes, well, obviously spiritual snakes, right? But there's something that happens to it in which you can't drink from it. That's mayim gluyim, and that's a real problem. So what happened over here? Why was this yam allowed? Why was it allowed in this case? So here's the cool thing. Underneath the cattle, there were hollow parts in its leg in which the yam was connected to a river that was underneath the Beis HaMikdash. So there was a water flow that constantly went up and down and up and down. There was machinery that they made. It was really easy machinery. It's just a regular, like, water mill, basically, where the water was constantly going down and constantly going up, so it was always replenishing itself. And because it was always replenishing itself, that's not called mayim gluyim. That doesn't have an issue. And it's also mayim chayim. It's like live water, so to speak. Yeah.
You don't have to. You can just cover it, and it'll be, it can be any type. It can be tap water, right?
Correct. Correct. It would be the same type of issue. It would be the same.
Only a woman's mikvah needs to be.
Everything. Yeah, only by a woman's mikvah do you have so. Well, by any mikvah, really. But yeah, by any mikvah that's kosher.
No, I'm saying only a woman's mikvah needs rainwater, right?
No, everything. Any mikvah does.
A man's mikvah
needs? Everything, yeah. Same thing. We don't have to go to the mikvah deal raisa like women do. right, from the Torah itself, not until the times of Kodshim, when Kodesh and Tumah and Tara come back. But as of right now, yeah, you still have
right,
to go in.
No, right now, the mikvah that we use, it doesn't have
it's
to be
connected. It's
but
connected
it doesn't
to
have to be rainwater.
Water.
It does.
Of course, yeah. Yeah. I mean, or ice, you know, in theory. But yeah, it has to be rainwater. Or river water or whatever. Well, it depends on the type of river. There's called Zochlin. But yeah, certain types of rivers and certain types of lakes, etc. But yeah, that's still
going to
be the
exact same
way. I was
always told that a man's doesn't have to be rainwater. Only a woman's does.
You're right in that it could be ice. That's a little bit different, right? But it does have to be, in other words, Mayim Chaim. It can't just
be
drawn water. They don't make women's mikvahs out of ice because you're dealing with the orizos. So
what does that mean, ice? I can just take my tap, turn around, and turn it to ice? And
no, you'd have to have, like, bags and bags and bags of ice and, like, pour it in and put it into something where it's obviously not a clean, can't
what's
be lifted up,
what's the difference between using that ice and rainwater?
Rainwater is meteorite. That's the way it's said from the Torah itself or from a lake or from, you know, an underground reservoir, whatever it is. You're supposed
ocean.
To collect it in or the ocean, obviously.
So why do
like
people
that,
say that,
this.
You know, if you're, like, you technically, if you're, you know, like under your shower for 10 minutes, that's considered...
That's a totally different issue. That's not a mikvah. That's teskaben. Teskaben is another issue for Balkari, which is another type of tumah. But it would not work for Nida. It wouldn't work for any of the tumah taras that are mentioned anywhere else. But Keri is a machlokas and brachos, right? When it goes into the second parak and the third parak regarding what you exactly need is around chaf hei, chaf vav. So that's a different story. That's the third parak, right? That's a different story altogether.
This is like different than everything I've heard in my entire life.
What?
Balkari. No, not the Balkari. I was always told that a man's mikvah just has to be normal. It can be any type of water.
Oh, no, you're talking about for Keri. That's what you're referring to. And for that, teskaben could work. That's machlokas, where Yudim Basira says we don't even have to go to the mikvah anymore after having Keri. But yeah, that's what it is for that. But that's teskaben. That's a totally different issue than a mikvah. A mikvah is has to be completely different. Yeah,
I mean,
it has to be
from mankind. I mean, nowadays, our mikvahs aren't real mikvahs, though, right?
Of course. Of course they are.
They don't actually purify you fully.
Of course, I mean they would.
They would if they're based on mikvahs.
Right, we just don't have tumas mace, but it would be matari you from tumas sharetz
so,
or
I mean,
tumas.
Essentially, the mikvahs nowadays don't really.
No, I mean it works for tumas sharetz. It works for other types of tumas. If you have two different types of tumas, you can get rid of one tuma, even though you're still tumming another one. Right, that's a straight out mishnah and brachos. So if you have keri, you know, and ziva, let's say, and you also happen to be tumay mace, you still go to the mikvah, even though it's not going to work for the tumas mace. So yeah, it does work. Yeah, it does work in that way. The question is, if you need it for Keri, that's another issue altogether. And we don't know what Ziva is. Okay, either way, so now what do you do? Vayas Kiorim Asar, he made 10 Kiorim. How do you spell it? I don't know how to pronounce it. Is it a laver or a laver? It's a laver, right? What? It is lavers? It doesn't sound right. It sounds like, we're so uneducated. Asar, Vayitin Chamisha Miyamin, Chamisha Mismol. Put 5 on the right, 5 on the left. Obviously, because you wanted all the Kwan in the wash. The Rachsa Behemes Masaya Ola Yadiyuchavam. They wanted to rinse out the Ola parts over there by Yom the Rachsa Lekwan and Bo. And the sea was for the Kohanim to be able to wash with. That's what the sea was used for over here. That's what they did it for. Vyas Menorah Zahav, Esther Kamishvam. He made 10 menorahs as well, made of gold. Vyitin Mechal Chamisha Miyamin, Chamisha Mismol. Put 5 on the right, 5 on the left. Vyas Shulchanos Asar. There were 10 Shulchans. Vyanach Behechal Chamisha Miyamin, Chamisha Mismol. 5 on the right, 5 on the left over here, right? And it says, Vyas Mizrake Zav Mea. He made 100 different types of bowls that were used over here. Now, all of this was from the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You could not add to the Mishkan on your own. Unless you had a Navi with you who was telling you what to do, you are not allowed to just say, like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to make a bunch of more menorahs and stuff like that. You have to be able to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you. But Shlomo Melech did have a Nebuah. He was told what to do. Therefore, there were 10 menorahs, 10 shulchans in the base Kodesh, in the Kodesh itself, right? The Kodesh was a little bit larger than the one that was in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, it was 10 amos by 20 amos. This was 40 amos by 20 amos. Now, here's a good question. 40 by 20 is how much bigger than a 20 by 10 amma area?
It's basically more, it's double.
It's more than double.
40 by 20.
It's 4 times larger. Knew I'd fool you on that one. Think about it for a second. If you have 20 by 10, right? 20 by 10, and you're putting it in 40 by 20, so that's 20... 40, so that's one, right? And then it's 20, 10, 20. So you'd have one here, one here, one here, one here. So it's 4 times larger, right? That's how much you'd have. So it was much, much bigger than it was in the Mishkan. So in the Mishkan, all you had was one shulchan, one menorah, one mizbeach. In the Beis HaMikdash, there were actually 10. And some say there were 11. The original shulchan, the original menorah of Moshe Rabbeinu, the original mizbeach, and then they made another 10, another 10, and 11 kiors, etc., as it went through. V'yas chatzar ha'kohanim va'azara. And he made the chatzur of the Kohanim as well as the Azara Hagdoila, the huge Azara where everybody would stand with lossos la Azara, but also same tzipa nechoshes and doors for the Azara. Those doors he overlaid with copper. Now he could have made them with gold. It's not like Shlomo Melech was wanting of gold at this time, but copper was very pretty because it shines very brightly, and the sun, when it would rise, would shine against the copper and would sparkle. And the people would see that, and they'd realize that it was morning. Barkai, barkai, they said in Yuma. They would say, it's morning, it's morning. They say, Yam nasim ikesav yamonis kedma mimol negba. They put the yam on the right-hand side toward the south. Now, if you think about it, guys, in the base of Mikdash, the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim were in the west, right? That's why the western wall is like right there, right? That's our wall right there. That was all the way over there. This was west, this was east. That means this is north, that was south, which means that it was put right over there, toward the south, right over there. They asked Churam as a serious as Yoim. Churam, who was this guy, again, he was not Hiram, the leader, right? He was this guy who they hired, who was Jewish. He made all the siros, which are the pots, that's a Yoim, and the shovels, that's a Mizrakos, and all the bowls Churam they needed.
Yisro?
I'm sorry?
Is it Churam Yisro?
No, Hirahadulami, maybe. Hirahadulami was the friend of Yehuda that's mentioned in Parshas Vayeshev.
So isn't this week's Parsha, Rashi says that, wasn't the guy named Churam and he says it's Yisro?
There is no man named Churam in the Parsha. There is a Yisro, right? And he has six other names, but none of them are Churam. All right, that,
who Chovav, does Rashi say in
you say Chovav, Reuel?
This week's Parsha, someone says
Chovav ben Reuel.
Yeah.
So that's Churam. Lasos is a malach in order to do the work of Shalom Melech Shlomo Beis Elokim, right? That he would do for Shlomo Melech in the Beis HaMikdash itself. Okay, so that's that itself. Amudim Shnayim. Then they made two pillars altogether over here. They made these two pillars. Vakosaros al Rosh Amudim. And they said Vagulos Vakosaros. And on top of that, they made capitals that were crowns on top of those pillars. Shnayim, there were made another two. Vasvachos Shnayim, there were two nettings. Like Asa Shtei Gulos Vakosaros to cover up those crowns over there. Shal Rosh Amudim, though, a tap on the pillars. I think this just looked nice. I can't tell you exactly what this refers to, but I've seen a picture of it before. It looks nice. Just a little netting network that went up on top right over there. Yes, Rimonim Arba Meos Lashtei Asvachos. There were 400 pomegranates for the two nettings over there. Shnayim Turim Rimonim Lasvacho Achas. Two rows of pomegranates for each netting. Lechasas Ashtei Gulos Akusarus. They covered up, right, the two basins of those capital Shalpanei Amunah that were on top of the pillars itself. That's a Machonos Asa. He then made the stands. That's a Kioros Asa Machonos. And then he made, you know, the laver slash laver, those sinks, on top of the stands, right over there. Right, and he put them on top of that. That's machonos, also the kiyoros, also all the machonos. As a yam echad, he made one yam. That's a bakar shnei masor taktav. And as we said, he had the 12 cattle underneath. That's a siros, that's yam mizlakos, that's kol kleyem, and all of. Once again, we have all the things: the pots, the shovels, the forks, and all the kelim they need. Also churam aviv la melech shlomo. Churam, right, made as his father would have, which apparently Churam had an awesome father who also was really, really good at this stuff. We have no idea who he is or why he's mentioned over here. But Churam would have had something awesome right over here. L'mel shalom v'beis Hashem. Nechoshes maruk. It was made from absolutely pure copper. The kikar yadin tzakam melech through the plain of the Jordan River. That's where everybody where they cast them. But avi adama in the thickness of the ground between sukkos and tzredasa. I have no idea what that means. If maybe copper works better if you have a certain type of ground involved, mud or dirt involved over here. I have absolutely no idea. You'd have to go around there and try to say. The Malbim says there was a highly polished effect that was used for these kalim over here, and it needed that particular soil for the casting process and everything else. There, those and only those, nothing else had that. So that's what it was. He made many of them. I can't even tell you, I can't even investigate how much the number and the weight of the copper was. How much of the Shlomo made all of these different kalim that was in the base of itself, as well as the Mizbech Azov, and all the Shulchanos, as well as the Lechem upon him that was on him, the menoros, and all the menoros, as well as all the neros that were needed for kindling, as was the judgment, Lifnad Dvir Zav Sagur, right in front of the Dvir, which is the Ol Moed, Zav Sagur was made with Zav Sagur. Now, why is it Zav Sagur? Zav Sagur literally means closed up gold. The reason why it's called closed up gold is because either the shops would close up whenever somebody would sell this, because it was the greatest whatsoever, or it was something that was malleable, like a type of gold that was very, very bendable and was the most awesome gold out there. Either way, it refers to something over there. Maybe it was, what's it called? The enclosing of the gold in the furnace of the purifying process. It was the most purified gold that you can think of. And all of the flowers, as well as the lamps and the melkachayim, the tongs, were made of gold. Michlos zahav, the finest gold that they could find. As well as all the musical instruments, as well as the bowls, and the spoons, as well as All the pans Zov Sagur was made of this awesome gold. Zov. The doors leading in to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, as well as the doors of the Heichal, were also made of the greatest gold. There was a crazy amount of gold. But we already saw how much gold was actually donated. We have hundreds of pounds, if not thousands of pounds. What do you have, Shlomo?
It says that Shlomo never used anything like David.
Correct. He did everything on his own for two reasons. Number one, he looked at the stuff that David Melech had, and a lot of it was captured in war from Ovdei Avodah Zarah. He did not want things that were made or taken from Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Number two, he felt that it was unnecessary because he felt like he could do it on his own, and he didn't want to take donations from other people until he had exhausted the donations that they had made themselves. Only then would they use something from something else, and they never needed it in the end, so they didn't take anything from anything like that. So he put all the leftover stuff into, you know, the what's called the treasuries in order to make sure that it was going to be that way and everything like that. It could also be that a Kadosh Baruch Hu never wanted David HaMelech to be the official builder of the temple, and therefore even his gold could not be used, and Shlomo HaMelech said, yeah, you shouldn't do it. Yeah, that's something that's out there as well. So that's three reasons altogether. Shlomo HaMelech had finished all the Malach that he had done for the Beis Midrash of Yavei Shlomo's country, David Aviv. He took all the holy things that David HaMelech, his father, said, all his gold, all the silver, and all the Kalim, Nasan, Ba'oitzrois, Beis HaLakim. He put it in the treasuries, right over there. So, all right, we said about the idolaters and stuff like that, right? That's right. There was a massive machlokas. Toward the end of David HaMelech's reign, there was a three-year famine. Remember that? Three-year famine. At the end of it, he asked the Kadosh Baruch Hu why, and he said because of the Givonim. So he made a public hesped for Shaul HaMelech. He reburied Shaul HaMelech and Yehonas and his son, took them away from Yavish Gilead and buried them in their father's area, right? And then he asked the Givonim what they want. The Givonim said, because of all the horrible things that Shaul HaMelech did to us by destroying Nov, the city that we were in, right, Nov Yir HaKohanim, we'd like to kill seven of Shaul HaMelech's descendants. David HaMelech then cursed them that they should never be part of Klal Yisrael, and the Givonim never were. From that point on, they were never part of Klal Yisrael from that point on. But those 3 years of famine were a major, major, major shiloh. The people were starving, and David HaMelech had crazy amounts of money. And they said, give us the money so that the people don't starve to death. And David HaMelech said, it's consecrated for the Beis HaMikdash. I'm not giving it up for anything or anyone. That was David HaMelech's psak. And Shlomo HaMelech argued on the psak. One of the most vociferous arguers on this was Yeravam ben Nevat. Yeravam ben Nevat, who later on would split the kingdoms, had heard about this, and he said, this is ridiculous. Him and his father, who is also known as Sheva ben Bichri, said, this is ridiculous. How dare you, David HaMelech, use this money for the Beis HaMikdash? We need to save people right now. And David HaMelech said, my money is not going to be used for that. I'll use everything else. I'll use up my own treasuries, but I'm not using the treasuries of the Beis HaMikdash itself. So Shlomo HaMelech may not have used this treasury on purpose, knowing that it was causing such strife amongst Klal Yisrael. You might have said no.
Yeah. Interpreting Nathan's message and
Nathan Navi's, yeah.
To mean that David should have no involvement at all.
Correct. That was our answer that we gave before, the third answer we gave before. Nathan Navi told David HaMelech he could not be involved because he was a man of war. And a man of war cannot get himself involved in the Beis HaMikdash or anything that the Beis HaMikdash had. So that's a possibility that it refers to over here as well. Regardless, it's going to be that. Now, he does say, and this is from Rav Eisenman, he says that Melachim goes through the whole process, and Shlomo Melech is front and center the whole time. We're going to see David HaMelech's name is going to be named time after time after time again. You're right that the physical material was all Shlomo Melech. But David HaMelech put his heart and soul into finding the area of the Beis HaMikdash, doing everything he could to buy the Beis HaMikdash area, to get everything ready for Shlomo HaMelech. The body of the Beis HaMikdash may have been Shlomo's. The soul of the Beis HaMikdash, so to speak, was Shlomo HaMelech's. That's the difference between the two, which is a pretty amazing idea over here. I'm sorry? It was David. I said Shlomo. Yeah, it was David's. Parakeh, everyone. Shlomo HaMelech had finished everything over here. We just said that. I'm sorry. Pasuk Beis. Shlomo then gathered together all the elders of Israel, and all the heads of the tribes, Nisiya of Bnei Yisrael, all the Nisiyim of the father tribes of the Bnei Yisrael, El Yushalim to Yushalim, the Halos says, Arum Bris Hashem, Meir David Yitzion, to bring up the Arum Bris Hashem that was in Ir David. Remember, David HaMelech had brought it to Ir David from the house originally I'm forgetting the guy who was blessed over Oved Edom, from the house of Oved Edom. Originally, it was coming from somebody from Beit Shemesh, right? But then it was brought to Oved Edom. He had all those kids, and then they brought it to Ir David. So now, it's being brought from Ir David, Hitzion. to the land of Tzion itself. They're bringing it up from over there. All the people, they came to the king on Sukkot. Some say he delayed it on purpose that it would be around Sukkot time. Others say, no, it just happened to be. In the seventh month, all the elders of Bnei Yisrael came, and the Levim lifted up the Aron. Unlike the mistake that David HaMelech made the first time, where they put the Aron Kodesh on top of a wagon, and they rode it along, and unfortunately Uzzah died because of that, this time they weren't taking any chances. They immediately carried it themselves. I'm sure the Levim fasted and did everything they could to make sure that nothing bad would happen. And they lifted up the Aron and the Ol Moed and all the Kalim that were in the Ol. Helu Osama Kwanah Levim, the Kwanim, the Levim lifted it up. Amelech Shlomo v'chol Yisrael, and the Aldim Alav lifting Aron Mizabchin Tzono Vakar. The King Shlomo and all Bnei Yisrael that were gathered to him in front of the Aron, they started shechting sheep and cattle. Sholi Sofru V'Leiman Mirov. They would not, could not be counted from how many they did. Thousands upon thousands of korbanos. We have Yehu Kwanim Aron versus Hashem Al Kol Mal Devir Abayis Al Kodesh Gadashim. The Kwanim brought the Aron of the Bris Hashem to its place, to the Devir Abayis, to the Kodesh Gadashim. Al Tanchas Kanfei Akru. Him underneath the wings of the Kruvim. Remember, guys, Shlomo Melech made another two Kruvim. The huge Kruvim that were five Amma long wing, each one of them, that were standing miraculously in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He put the Aron Kodesh underneath those Kruvim. Obviously, the Aron itself had its own Kruvim that were there. Those are the four Kruvim that were there. It says putting them under inside there. Each time it says the word El, if you notice that, El Dvirabais, El Kodesh HaKadoshim, El Tachas HaKadoshim, it was like there was a different status of Kedusha, a different level of Kedusha. Vayu HaKruvim Porsim Knafayim HaMakam HaAron. The Kruvim spread their wings over the place of the Aron Kodesh. Kodesh Vayechasu HaKruvim, they covered up the Kruvim themselves, or the Kruvim themselves were covered up ala Aron Valbad of Melmala, as well as the poles up above. The Aron Kodesh still retained its poles that were stuck inside there for traveling, even though it was never going to be carried outside of this area again. Yes, Yoshia hid it, but most say that the Aron was hidden under the Beis HaMikdash itself. It was never carried out. By Arichu Abadim, the Badim, the poles, lengthened themselves. Miraculously, they lengthened themselves. Remember, the area of the Kodesh HaKadoshim was 20 by 20 Amos. The poles of the Aron were no bigger than 2.5 Amos. So they lengthened themselves. By Yuro Rosh Abadim in Aron al Pnei Advir, you could see the ends of the poles from the Aron Kodesh if you stood in the regular Kodesh. You saw them sticking out from the Parochas. And you'll excuse the language, but this is the words of Chazal. It was supposed to appear as if the two Dade Isha, to look as if it's the chest of a woman, to appear that way to show the love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has for Klal Yisrael is like a chasen to a kala. It was done on purpose for it to be that way, right? And it was done that way, putting inside of a leiro achutza, but you could not see the poles outside. You could just see them sticking through. And they remained that way until today. Obviously, you know, Ezra Sofer is saying whatever it was at that time, because at the times of Ezra, this could not have been. They didn't have the Aron Kodesh because the second base of Mikdash, there was no Aron. In the Aron, there was only the two luchos that Moshe Rabbeinu had been given at Chorev, Asher Kras Hashem min Bnei Yisrael b'Tzeis Mitzrayim, that Hashem had given to Bnei Yisrael when they left Mitzrayim itself. There are those that say that the Aron was purposely put next to the Parochas so that the bottom would appear through there. But I don't understand. If there's a miracle anyway, why not just put it at the very end and have the poles go all the way out, right? I just think that's somewhat obvious. It's possible that the Kohen Gadol needed it, because remember, he had to put Ketores in front of the Aron. He didn't know where to look, and he couldn't look straight. He had to look down while he was doing it, so it's possible there's an idea behind it. The poles of the Aron can never be taken out. Does anybody know why the poles cannot be taken out? I mean, aside from the fact that it's a Gzeiras HaKasev. Because the Aron Kodesh stands for the people that sit and learn Torah all day. The poles of the Aron, those who carry it, stand for the people that are machzik the Torah, that support the Torah. There is no way for their im ein kemach ein Torah, im ein Torah ein kemach. There's no way to separate the badim from the Aron. Because as important as it is to learn Torah, it's also extremely important to have supporters of Torah for the Torah to be held up. So for that reason, the bottom were in there and they remain forever. They will never be taken out, because the job of each person that was going to be there is, your job was either to be the Aron or the bottom. And of course, if somebody was unbelievably lucky, they could be both. They could be the Aron and the bottom. Be a tremendous Talmid Chacham as well as a supporter of Torah. That would be the greatest that there could be out there. But that's that. They had to be put there inside the entire time when it came through. Okay, that's that. What else do we have? I forgot the Malbim. The Malbim says that the symbolism of looking like a woman's chest is, again, that the Torah provides the people with spiritual nourishment just as a mother's milk feeds the baby. That was ADB. I forgot about that right over there. Now, when it says, Ein ba'aron rak shnei aluchos, isn't that weird? Shouldn't you just say, ba'aron haya shnei luchos, right? That should have been the obvious thing over here. Ein ba'aron rak is a double negative. A double negative is a positive. What that means is there was more in the Aron Kodesh than what meets the eye. In the Aron Kodesh itself, although it's a machlokas in the Gemara and Baba Basra around Daf Yud Dalet, there was for sure the luchos, that the second pair of luchos that were whole that Moshe Rabbeinu made. Most likely there were also the broken pair of luchos. Some say that was by a different Aron that was brought out to war, but most likely there were the broken luchos as well. Some say the Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote at the end of his life was also placed by the Aron Kodesh itself. There was also a jug of Mun, Sincenis Haman, that was put by it. There was also the staff of Aron HaKohen that flowered after the events of Korach, when they argued on Aron, etc. That was put inside there. And one last thing. Does anyone know what the last thing was? It's a weird one. I'll tell you that. The Mun, the Mata, the broken Luchos, the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and there's one last thing. That was that. The flowers and the almonds. Last one was the Argaz, the treasure box that was sent by the Plishtim when they had taken the Aron Kodesh and they were stricken with hemorrhoids and rats eating the inflamed hemorrhoids that came from their bowels. When they had those, they made five golden hemorrhoids and five golden rats. And they put them in an Argaz and sent it back with the Aron Kodesh. And not only did the Jews accept the gift of golden hemorrhoids and golden rats, but they put it by the Aron Kodesh itself. Amazing, right? Rav Schwab and Rav Schwab on prayer by Asher Yotzar, a very fitting place, says, we say, obviously, when you say Asher Yotzar, you say, Lifnei Chisei Chivodecha. He said, the realization of how great it is to be able to go to the bathroom and do something normally hit the Plishtim so much when they saw that their bowel movement was obviously abnormal and they were being eaten by rats as they went to the bathroom. I don't think there could be a bigger fear than something like that. It's something coming out of the toilet and biting you as you're sitting in the... I don't think there could be a bigger fear than that, right? That was something that hit them so badly. They felt like they had to donate something, and Bnei Yisrael agreed with it. And not only did they agree with it, they put the Argaz by the Aron Kodesh to represent that when you're in the bathroom, it literally is Lifnei Chisei Chavodecha. The greatest chesed and rachamim that Kodesh Baruch Hu could have given us, that we can exude something, take out something from our bodies in a fashion that is disgusting, but nonetheless necessary in a good way for us to recognize how Hashem is working in our bodies. Okay, that was that. It says, Vayi betzeitz ha-kohanim in ha-kodesh, when the kohanim left the kodesh, ki kol ha-kohanim nitzavim yiskadoshu, every single coin that was there, they had to make themselves kodesh. Ein lishmor l'machlakos. They did not observe any divisions at that time. Remember, there were 24 divisions that were made by David HaMelech. They did not keep them right now because everybody had to work and do whatever it was that they needed to do. Valavim ha-meshorim l'kulam. The Levim, all of them were singers. La'asaf, la'heman, li'yidusun. Asaf, heman, li'yidusun. Those are the famous ones. Livnehem, v'lacheyem, their sons, their brothers, mulubashim, boots, they were wearing linen clothing, mitzel time, when they had cymbals, they had guitars, they had harps. They were sitting to the east side of the Mizbech. There were 120 Kohanim altogether. They were blowing on the trumpets themselves. There's a kasha. I mean, no one is allowed to sing with the Levium. A Mishoar, a gatekeeper of the Levium, is not allowed to become a Mishorer, a singer. A singer, a Mishorer, can never become a Mishoar. They're Chayav Misa if they switch their jobs. If you're a singer, you're a singer for life. If you're a gatekeeper, you're a gatekeeper for life. And the Kohanim as well, they had certain jobs, and one of them was the blowing of these trumpets, the Chatzotzros. They worked together. There was complete unison between the people that were trumpeting, the people that were singing. Praising God for His goodness. The house was filled with a cloud, whether that's referring to the Ketoris that they burned or the Shechina, representative of what the Shechina was. either way, it filled up the base of Mekshiv. The Quran weren't even able to serve because of the Anan. There was just too much over here. And I find this to be amazing. I don't know if this is the very first mention of the concept of a symphony. I don't know if the concept of a symphony existed before this, but if this is around 800 before the Common Era, if there's anything else, I don't know, maybe the Egyptians had something hieroglyphically, maybe there was something that the Chinese had or whatever it was, but this was a symphony that worked together in unison for everybody to go together. Seems to me this might have been the first time that they had something like that. Yuval, years and years and years ago, one of the sons of Cain, right, the brother of Nama, who was the wife of Noah, he created cymbals and lyres, he made musical instruments. But I don't know if he ever put them together the way that we have it over here. Okay, Perek Vav. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said he would dwell in a thick cloud. I have made a base zvulach, machon l'shivtachal olami, a machon for you to live forever. Chazal say from this that he brought down the heavens to earth. If you look in Chagiga, it mentions that zvul and machon are two of the names of the Rekiyim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows himself to be found in. That's what it refers to here. Vayasev HaMelech Hespanov, the king turned his face, Vayavarach Hiskol Kal Yisrael. He blessed everyone among Bnei Yisrael itself. And it says, V'chol Kal Yisrael Omeid, while Bnei Yisrael were standing. Some say he gave them a separate bracha. Some say this is the bracha. Vayomer, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Asher Dibri V'fiv, Es David Aviv Yado Milei Lemor. Baruch Hashem, the God of Israel, who spoke with his word to my father David, and in his hands he consecrated it, saying the following, Yom HaShoah Tzitzit Yasem Yisrael Mimor Yitzrayim, from the day that I took out my people from the land of Mitzrayim, Lo Bachartu V'yir Mikol Shiv Yisrael Livnos Bayis. I have not yet chosen a city from all the Shvatim Yisrael to build the base of the Lil Shmi Shalom in order for my name to be the Lo Bachartu V'ish. Lil Zagadam Yisrael, and I never chose a man to be prince over Bnei Yisrael, and I chose Yerushalayim in order for my name to be there, and I chose David to be upon my people Yisrael. Yes, Shaul HaMelech was chosen first, but Shaul was always going to be a temporary king. Shaul was always going to be the regent leading into the real king. That was always the plan. David HaMelech was the one who was officially the chosen one. David Avi, Livnos Bayis. It was for David, my father, to build the base of Mitzvah, Shem Hashem Elokei Yisrael, to do it for the Shem Shamayim. Hashem said to David Avi, my father. Yeah, by the way, as a side note, I should keep pointing this out. It's very rare for a son to mention his father's name without saying the word, my father. So throughout, he's going to say, David, my father. If you mention your father's name, you should always say, my father. Like if I'm talking about my father's name, I would say, my father, Joey. You say it something like that so that everybody understands who you're talking about. So quite often you will see this idea of David Avi, unless it says David HaMelech. So it says right over here, it's good what was in your heart, said HaKadosh Baruch Hu to my father. Pasuk Tes. But I don't want you to build the base of Mikdash. Why? Because your son, he comes from your loins, he will build the base of Mikdash. And Hashem established his word, should he bear that he had spoken. I stood instead of David my father, and I sat on the throne of Israel, Hashem, like Hashem spoke, and I built up the base of Mikdash. And I put the Aron Kodesh there, Shem Bris Hashem, in which there was a covenant of Hashem, Asher Korasim Bnei Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made with Bnei Yisrael, Vayamod Lifnei Mizbach Hashem. And I stood, or he stood, this is, Vayamod Lifnei Mizbach Hashem, and he stood, Shlomo HaMelech stood in front of the Mizbach, Negei Kol Yisrael, Vayifros Kapav, and he spread out his hands. Chazal tell us that Shlomo HaMelech, unlike us, he stood out there, spreading his hands in prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lifting them up to Shemayim. Nowadays, we do not do this because it looks like you're a tremendous Baal Gaiva. That a king is allowed to have a little bit of Gaiva. He's allowed to show that little bit of Gaiva to show how much of a prince he is. He has to have Anivus as well, but he's allowed to do this. And therefore, he lifted up his hands, davening like this to the heavens like that. So we don't do that.
People clap. How is that also considered being like...
That's only to help them concentrate and make everybody else lose their concentration. they do a tremendous job, right?
Yeah,
it's always done well that way. But it says, also Shlomo Kiyo Nechosh, because Shlomo Melech made that copper ladder that was all together. He put in the Azor, Chamesh Mos Orko was 5 amos long, Chamesh Mos Rachbo, 5 amos wide, V'amos Shlosh Kamasa was 3 amos tall, V'yamad Alav. He stood on top of it. It looks like it. He stood on top of that kior. By Yivrach al Birkov, and then he knelt on his knees, Negi Kol Kal Yisrael, in front of all Bnei Yisrael, Yifros Kapa Shemaim, and he lifted up his hands to the heavens. I believe this is how the Arabs daven. I'm not positive, but they sit on their knees on top of their little carpet and they lift their hands up to the heavens, right? I do think that that's what they do. I've seen it only once or twice in an airport, right? I don't hang out in, you know, mosques, unfortunately. But I believe that's what they do. And I think it comes from here. Maybe somebody copied from it. By Yomar, Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Ayin Kamocha Elokim, Bashmayim Va'aretz, there's nobody like you. And the heavens and the earth, Shomar Brisa Chasvi, keep the Brisa and the Chasvi, Lavadecha, Hochon Lefanech, Bechol Ibam, who walk in front of you with all their heart. Asher Shamar, Zalav, Decholi, David Avi, you kept for your servant, David, my father. Ezra, Divartel, that which you spoke to. And you spoke with your mouth and you consecrated everything on this very day. Do for your servant David, my father, everything that you spoke to him, saying, nobody will be cut off. You will never have a person cut off from in front of Yoshev HaKis Yisrael sitting on the throne of Israel. But your children have to keep all of their ways. They have to go in my Torah the way that you walked in front of David. Let it all come true, the word that you had spoken to your servant to David. Because does God really dwell with man upon the earth? The heavens and the heavens above the heavens, which we don't even understand, which is completely spiritual, they can't hold you. Certainly not the house that I'm making for you. I understand that, HaKadosh Baruch. I realize that the hypocrisy in me making a house for you doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I get that. He says, nonetheless, you should turn to the prayers of your servant, right, and to his supplication, Hashem Elokei, to listen to my song and my prayer, that I am davening in front of you. Your eyes should always be open to this place, day and night, where you want to put your name there, to listen to the tefillah that your servant makes. You should listen to the supplication of your servant and your people Israel. You should listen from your place up above in the heavens. You should hear and forgive us. If anybody sins against a friend, and they carry an oath, may the oath go to this mizbeach. You should listen from the heavens. You should do and you should judge your servant. Is to put his darach in front of him. To give him according to his absolute righteousness. I'm going to end with this, I think. We'll end right over here. And Pasuk Chav Dalet. We have quite a bit over here, but at least this is the beginning of